The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Welcome back. Will O'Callaghan sitting in for Matt Cooper on this Friday. It is the first night of the new Premier League season. Man City are going for what will be an unprecedented five in a row. We kick things off with Manchester United against Fulham at Old Trafford tonight. We've assembled the Avengers together for this one. Tony Cascarino, Mark Lawrenson, Miguel Delaney, all with us for the next few minutes. To look forward to this. Gentlemen, good evening to you all. Miguel, if I kick off with you. Manchester United, the focus because of tonight. We'll talk about Chelsea, Man City in a few minutes. But United obviously off the disappointment of last year. 8th place in the league, but winning the FA Cup at the end. They've been remarkably busy in the transfer window for the last couple of weeks, but Erik ten Hag saying that many of his players might not be fully ready for tonight.
Yeah, and I suppose as well as that, the thinking would be they still lack a number 6. Now, I suppose the grand storyline going into United for this new season, of course, with ten Hag having kept his job quite narrowly in the summer, I suppose, is whether they have learnt any lessons, and that's in a number of areas, both from the manager and how he set up last season, given, as we mentioned, midfield, there was often a chasm that other teams just walked through, but also in the transfer market. And I suppose that was interesting because they have done a fair bit of business under this new regime, under Sir Jim Ratcliffe's minority stake and how he's changed the recruitment structure. And while obviously most of those have been the young players that they want to prioritise now on lower fees than United would previously have paid, it is still notable that the last two signings were members of Ten Hag's 2018-19 Ajax team. So he could feasibly field 6 players that either played under him at Ajax or kind of are Ajax schooled. It'll be interesting how that evolves. And I suppose it is maybe there's a potential for an immediate big storyline from the first game.
Yeah, especially Tony, because they've got Liverpool on the week before the international break. So they start off with tonight's game, then they've got Brighton next week, and then they've got Liverpool the week after. So they won't want a kind of a rocky start to the season like last year, where they didn't look impressive against Wolves on the opening night. What are you expecting from United this season, Tony?
Oh, it's a good call. I think we're all a little bit... I'm not confident that United will go well. I actually think he's made signings that are players that haven't been regulars in the first teams at Bayern Munich. Obviously, De Ligt is one of them, where he was a far better player. I saw a lot of him when he was 18 at Ajax. I thought he was a really terrific centre-half then. But since his moves to, obviously, Juventus and Bayern Munich, he's not quite been the same player. It's a tough one. They're playing Fulham, who won at Old Trafford last year. And they're a funny side, Fulham. They can really have a go at you and cause you problems. And I expect quite a conservative way of Man United playing. For the first half hour in the Community Shield, I thought Man United were really poor. Once they got their game going and sort of created chances, then they had some good chances against City, didn't take them. But that's been the common theme of Manchester United, that missing chances too regular, whoever it is. I mean, for me, their shining light is Garnacho. I think what we saw of him last year, can he kick on from what we know he's capable of? I think he can be a big player for United. But generally, I'm not confident of United making a top four. I actually think there's a lot of clubs who have done some great business that puts them in a chance of getting that top four instead of United.
Yeah, what do you reckon, Laura? I mean, Villa would probably be the one people might see as vulnerable with the extra games this year for them. Liverpool, we'll see how they get on under their new manager in Arne Slot. You probably take the top two as being City and Arsenal in some order. Do you think United can get top four this season, or how do you see the year panning out for them?
No, I don't see them getting top four unless they get Rashford going. We don't really know what he's been doing for the last couple of years. If you could get him back to the form he's, 3 or 4 years ago, you'd then look at them and think, yeah, they'd have a real chance. Then you get 30-plus goals, I think. But the other thing as well, I never realised that. So Ten Hag will have 6 players who have played for him before in the Dutch league. I look at that, and maybe Cass will be very interested with this. I wonder just whether he wants those not just to play, obviously, but also in the dressing room. Is a little bit kind of, try and run the dressing room, see what happens in there. I thought he was treated extremely shabbily by Sir Jim Ratcliffe at the end of last season when they just won the FA Cup. Just make your mind up. You don't have to go asking Uncle Tom Cobley and everybody else who do you think the new manager should be. But no, I don't see United finishing fourth. I think they'll have quite a few problems still.
What do you reckon, Tony, just to that point, to the fact that now he's got players he's worked with before, players who'd be loyal to him having been part of that team in 2019, that maybe that's what you do as a manager when they weren't 100% sure of you back at the start of the summer, you get people in who are going to be your generals in the dressing room?
Well, you hope that, but, you know, it can... You're joining a club like Manchester United, and if you're not performing like Anthony hasn't for them since he joined, you know, people start looking over their shoulder and think, well, is he up to it at Old Trafford? You know, and I think there's a number of them. The goalkeeper, Anana, I think he ended the season well last year, but generally, I thought he had a really indifferent season. So if the players that he's brought in don't do particularly well, there will be lads who have been there a while who will think maybe they're not good enough. And by the way, picking Man United player of the season last year was really tricky because not many could, for me, stood up and had a really good season. And I think it's been a really difficult period for the club. And yes, it's lovely having players that you work with because you trust them and have confidence they can deliver, but not really anybody's delivered for them. And, you know, there's a lot of question marks over a lot of United players at the moment.
All right. Maybe Kobbie Mainoo, the standout from last year with his performances and then getting in the squad for England in the summer. But the big game of the weekend, I know you're going to it, Miguel, as well, is Chelsea against City. This doesn't need much teeing up, really. It's Maresca up against his former boss in Pep Guardiola. Chelsea have to try and pick an 11 from the 49-50 senior players they have now. So what a game to kick the season off. The fixtures computer was kind to put this on the first weekend.
Well, and I think it has a bigger context for another reason, and it's fitting in many ways. This is the first big game because what else could happen this season? Well, Chelsea, I think they're under investigation for payments during the Roman Abramovich era. An outcome of that is expected by November. And there is no belief in football that they could get a big points deduction and a transfer ban, which I suppose, if you look at it through that prism, it does explain a lot of this business. And then, of course, the issue that is weighing over the whole season, which is that an outcome is expected for the Manchester City case at some point in 2025. And this is something that's worth actually, I think, people wrapping their head around, because I hadn't really considered it until I was writing my preview for the season this week. But we could actually have a situation which would be unprecedented in English football, which is that if City are found guilty of the charges, now, of course, they insist on their innocence, but they say they're top of the league as they usually are, or in a tight race with Arsenal come April or January or whatever, we could have a situation where actually they're either docked so many points they suddenly drop right down the table, or given this has been raised, they're expelled. Now, on the other side, if they're not found guilty, there is the potential for civil war in the Premier League, given the strength of feeling among other clubs. And I mean, as we all talk about the football, I think this is just something that weighs over this season massively.
Yeah.
And is no
Miguel,
matter what happens, going to. Sorry, yeah, yeah.
Can I just say, why on earth is it taking so long? Is it the number of charges alone, or
what is it? I mean, it's funny. Like, I was talking to people who have worked within the Premier League over the past few years, and those who've worked also in the UEFA case, and there is actually surprise at how long it's taken. Administrators in football are actually critical of the Premier League in this. Now, on the Premier League side, I think they would say it's the scale of the case. One of the phrases that has been used is that the Premier League is in a fight for its life, given that City are challenging them on every single legal frontier, which I think is one reason that it's taken this long. And also, that's why one thing on this thing we can say for certain, but it does seem very likely, and everyone in football is saying it, is that City are likely to get some sort of punishment for refusing to comply with the investigation. So that's, I think that's one area where there might be a sanction, but we wait to see what happens. And it the entire complexion of the season could be changed in an instant.
Yeah. Miguel, also, sorry, just to butt in, sorry, Casper. Is it Pep's last year?
I mean, that's something that's already been reported, I think it was in a Daily Mail immediately after the season, that he's given serious consideration. Now, he's been through this before, to be fair, Guardiola, and it's almost like he decides every year to go on.
Right.
Usually it's the desire to win another Champions League that keeps him there. But, of course, on exactly that, Mark, as you say, the charges of this investigation, that could well have a huge bearing on what Guardiola does.
Yeah.
Can I just add one thing there as well, Will?
Yeah, go on, Tony.
And you mentioned there, Miguel, about complying. Is is one of the issues as well that UEFA are challenging City because there's been so many delays on them charges? That's added more charges for their delays.
Yeah, some of the Premier League charges relate to that, yeah. Not a complaint. Yeah. And let's not forget as well that in the CAS case in 2020, which did overturn UEFA's initial ban, City were specifically given a 10 million fine, a 10 million euro fine for not complying or not on, with the investigation. And it's interesting, it's something that comes up a lot when you speak to people in the Premier League as well. City's language, public language through all this has been that they welcome the chance to clear their name, yet the behaviour in terms of the investigation hasn't exactly been welcoming. No. They've you know, been obstructive at every single turn.
Yeah. So Arsenal to win the league then?
Well, it's interesting that though, isn't it? Because leaving all this aside, I actually would have said, I'm not sure what you guys think, that it feels closer than ever that City might be unseeded, but because Arsenal are kind of evolving as a team, they're that bit older, they have the experience, they got 89 points last year. And I don't know about you, but like it does just feel that City, for the first time in half a decade, are thinner in terms of squad depth than I've seen them.
Yeah. I think we'd all probably agree that City, and there's a number of players like Kyle Walker, Kevin De Bruyne, slightly older, you know, how much in their legs. I mean, Kyle Walker looked out on his feet in the Euros. Kevin De Bruyne missed 5 months of last season. So there are challenges, certainly, you know, at City.
Yeah, and only one striker really at the moment, haven't they?
Yeah.
Which is
yeah.
your man.
Do they dip back into the market, Miguel, given that Oscar Bob now has that injury and Erling Haaland can't play every single game? You can understand why they would take the money for Julian Alvarez when Atletico are given such a big profit on him. But realistically now, unless they're going to play Kevin De Bruyne as a false nine or maybe move someone else in field to play there, they seem very light up front if Haaland has to be relied on for everything here.
Yeah, that's it. And I think you're absolutely right about Bob. I think that the thinking had been that he would just step into the team. And to be fair to Guardiola, even though one of the constant criticisms is, and it's true, that he has had a financial advantage in every job he's been in, Barca, Bayern and City, within that he also has been very willing to use young players and if he feels they understand the system. And Bob was one of those. So I think they did expect him to step up, and now they might move. The word that keeps coming around now, actually, is they might go for Eberechi Eze from Crystal Palace, who isn't, I suppose, strictly a forward, but is someone that can play across the line in that way. It has become a trend among forwards, really.
Yeah. Tony, I don't want to forget about your old club, Chelsea, here, because we were talking about Chelsea City before we talked about the charges. what do you reckon is going to happen with Chelsea this year, then?
Well, it's a tough one again. I mean, you know, they brought in Pedro Neto from Wolves, who I really like. Got probably injured a bit too much for 50-odd million. You look at Drewsbury Hall, who obviously Maresca has worked with at Leicester City. Very, very talented lad on the ball. You know, he's one of them. You give him the ball, he can get past people in an instant. So a couple of big signings. And Cuckoo missed large parts of last season. Going to see more of him. I think it's all going to come down to defensively how well Chelsea do. Because there's a... You know, Fofana was out for the whole of last season. Thiago Silva's left the football club. You know, so there's holes to be filled there. Are they good enough? I mean, Reece James missed so much of last season. Like Chilwell. You know, you look at all that back line, most of them, there's been a lot of change in them positions at Chelsea. So, I don't... A bit like Manchester United, they don't have great aspirations for Chelsea to make the top four, but they've been very ambitious again, spending loads and loads of money. And we talked about all the financial issues, you know, with Manchester United and punishment, but Chelsea seem to be out to find a way. They keep giving everybody 8 and 9 year contracts. You know, even that Cole Palmer signed a new contract to in the 30s. So it's like, wow. I mean, they seem to find loopholes in the market that they can exploit, and they've done it really well. But I don't know how you can have nearly 50 players at your football club. A number of them won't be playing. After 2 years or 1 year of getting good money and players get a bit restless, I don't know how they manage that situation, because having so many, you're going to get a lot of unhappy players at a football club.
Yeah, Cole Palmer, 9 year deal.
How do you manage the team, Will?
Sorry, Mark.
How do you manage the team with so many players? I mean, Cass is absolutely right. I mean, players will take it for a while not playing, then all of a sudden there'll be like a naughty room, and then there'll be the kind of first team squad. It's just very, very strange.
Yeah. Oh, they need to get players out as well. There's players like Lukaku there who they need to shift out in the next week, and we'll see what happens if Conor Gallagher is eventually going to go to Atletico or not. Laura, when it comes to Liverpool, we heard Arne Slot talking there in the news headlines that they chased Tchouaméni and he was the number one target, and now they have to look at what they can do before the transfer window closes. Is it a case, and I know there's three contracts that need to be sorted at Liverpool as well, but Liverpool have to do some business before September?
No, I wouldn't say they have to, as in bringing somebody in, but as you rightly say, that the three guys whose contracts are up are all outstanding, play well, all world-class players, obviously. They need to be sorted out, because you don't want to be going into the season as a new manager and you're looking at you know, those three guys and thinking, are they going to sign? Are we going to give them enough money to stay? I mean, that's the real, you know, the heartbeat of their team, centre-forward. You know, Salah with all his goals, Trent obviously with, you know, an absolutely brilliant footballer, and you'd argue they're as good as anybody in the football club. And somehow, I think they'll do it. It's going to cost them an awful lot of money, but you can't. If you look at those three fellas and you think how much would they be worth on the transfer market, it's hundreds of millions. So surely you would do a deal as a manager of the football club and the owners, which is to make sure that you get them to sign a new contract.
Yeah, I can understand, Miguel, why they went after Zubimendi for so long. Fantastic player. He obviously wasn't keen to leave. Manny Basks, it seemed this summer with Nico Williams, they don't particularly want to leave at all. But it has, I guess, if Liverpool want to get another six, pressure on them now to get business done quickly.
Well, it's a funny one, that actually, all the more so because it feels like there might be a little bit of a Van Dijk situation about this, in that some of the words that come out of Liverpool this week is that Zubimendi was so specific to what they want that they actually don't have many other profiles of player that's looking for close to him in six. So I do wonder, is this a situation where they actually wait to get Zubimendi in the future, or maybe just get a stand-in for the moment? Because, I mean, one of the things that I suppose made Real Sociedad all the more intransigent in this and made it more difficult for Zubimendi to go was the knowledge that, I mean, Real Sociedad had a really successful run to the point they supplied three key players to Spain's Euro 2024 win. Now, the likelihood is they could have lost all three. Robin Norman's gone to Atletico Madrid. Mikel Merino will almost certainly go to Arsenal, and that would have left Zubimendi. And I think they really leaned on that, which is why he didn't go now. But it could mean an opening for the future. For the moment, actually, one of the things that I've heard, and that's in relation to Eze as well, Liverpool do like him, and that Slot and the recruitment team have also been assessing the forward line, which they're willing to change up, and they're looking at a few different profiles of player. And I suppose we know they've got this long-standing interest in Anthony Gordon, but have so far been put off by Newcastle's price.
Mm. Laura, you kind of half-joked a few minutes ago, we were talking about City and the Chargers, we said Arsenal's league to win then. Do we take it that Arsenal definitely are the best challengers to City then?
I just think they are, for all the reasons we've mentioned, including the City thing. They've got better each year under Arteta, and you know all that fuss last year. Can you remember, Will, when it was up to halfway through the season, they're going, well, they need a goal scorer. They'll never be anywhere near the winning the league if they don't get a goal scorer. And they've done absolutely brilliant. I think they might dip in for somebody. Miguel will know better than me just before the end of the transfer market. I just think they're very, very settled. But another central defender who we know is a top player. I wonder if sometimes they might even play with three at the back.
Yeah.
Which would be interesting to see as well. I just think they're in a great position. They look a happy squad. And the manager, obviously, you know what he's like. He's driven. As we know, because obviously a big mentor with Pep, etc. And I just fancy them. I think it might just be their team to actually win it. Their time, sorry, to win it.
What do you reckon, Tony? I mean, they say defence wins championships. Arsenal were really good defensively last season, particularly second half of the year. Calafiori comes in now to give that option of going with three centre-backs and maybe two wing-backs. He's got options at the back. If they're as difficult to break down as last season, it's a case then of just maybe getting some more goals from Martinelli, Saka, and they have to be right up there.
Yeah, it's look, from the outside you look at Arsenal and you think there has been improvement, which has been evident for everybody to see, like 2 points behind City last year, I think five or six the previous season. I still think City are the team to beat. You know, they've had half a season out of De Bruyne last year. Haaland was nowhere near as good as he was in the first season in the Premier League. You know, and I watched Haaland in the Community Shield, hardly getting a look in. You know, it's a striker that's got a goal a game ratio. Hardly getting it. You know, again, how can you keep him happy? Well, goals keeps him happy and winning things. So it's a huge challenge still for Pep at City. I still think they're the ones to beat. Even though Arsenal breathing down their necks, I still feel very optimistic about Liverpool because I like Diaz, I like Jota. Salah's got a spring in his step. I like the influence of certainly someone like Harvey Elliott, who I think is a terrific young footballer, reminds me, and Mark would have played with him, Ray Howe, and he reminds me of Ray a lot because he always wants the ball. He's not the biggest. He's got terrific feet, chips in with great goals. I would like to think Curtis Jones will come up again another level because last year he was in and out and again had injuries, but I still think it's City to beat.
All right. Thanks a million, gents. It's been a pleasure looking ahead to the new Premier League season.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.